Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from professional storyteller Sandy Walker.
This is a true Miami tale. I can see Lucy in my mind's eye like I met her last month, and it's been 20 years. Now, I met Lucy at the City Hall in the all-purpose room with the green linoleum floors, the American flag, our beautiful state of Florida flag, and that faint antiseptic smell. Lucy was beautiful. She was sitting at a portable table with a blackboard behind her, dressed all in white, a two-piece suit, white sandals. She had prettily groomed, soft, curly, whiter than snow hair, and a lovely smile. She helped me through a mundane bureaucratic task. I had to fill out a little card. And when that was done, we introduced ourselves personally. Among other things, I said I was a storyteller. And as soon as she heard that, she told me that when she was a girl, she lived in a small town and her family owned the general store. At that time, a general store was a gathering place. News and ideas were exchanged. A lot of gossip, I would imagine. So she heard all the local news and gossip from her father, usually around the dinner table. The store gave the family some status and a modestly profitable income. They had the first car, the first telephone, the first radio in town. She went on to tell me about the extraordinary family reunions that took place every 5 years. The annual event was impossible, considering the size of the family, and at that time, the difficulty and expense of traveling. She described one event in some detail. It took place when she was about 11 years old. And it must have been a Lollapalooza. She described the people, the clothes, the conversations, many of them overheard, and the food. The tables of food stretched across the lawn, two whole tables with nothing but desserts. Now, you might expect this if you have been around groups of young boys. They were wild. They were rough, raucous. Immediately, they formed something of a gang, and they were soon sent to play at some distance from the civilized members of the family. But even at a distance, their whoops and shouts could easily be heard, and the girls were entirely different. The girls played at more dignified games. Lucy made headbands from laurel leaves for all the girls. And wearing their leafy crowns, they assumed classic, graceful poses in Greek and Roman theme, which was very fashionable at that time. Suddenly, the boys come running up over the rise, and one of the boys is twirling over his head like a lariat, a freshly killed snake. The whole gang of them yelling like savages. Now, intentionally or not, the boy let go of the snake. And flying through the air, it landed right around Lucy's neck. Now, that snake was so newly killed that it was still writhing and twisting. And, well, you can imagine Lucy became hysterical. It took several of the men to dispose of the snake, and Lucy, poor thing, had to be taken up to the house and put to bed. Early the next morning, Lucy's Aunt Nora called the house. "How's Lucy?" she wanted to know. Lucy's mother said everything was fine. "Are you sure?" asked Aunt Nora. It was so terrible, so dreadful." "Not all that dreadful," said Lucy's mother. "The snake was dead after all." Although she would never forget poor Lucy with that snake writhing and twisting, her poor little face, mouth open. But there had been no bad dreams. She did not want it to become a defining moment. And in a few days, she was sure that Lucy would laugh at the whole thing. "Snake?" said Aunt Nora. "Snake? Oh, goodness, no, I wasn't talking about the snake. Those leafy headbands Lucy made for all the girls? Honey, those were poison ivy."
Sandy Walker with a story about a misdirection.
Yes, and there's so much misdirection in this story. The first one being on the Public Storyteller, we not only ask people to tell stories that happened to them in Florida and specifically South Florida, but we ask them to tell stories that happened to them. And it's true that we have slightly different rules for professional storytellers, but I love the fact that the frame of this story, the opening of this story, was a routine walk into City Hall. And she describes City Hall really well with the smell and with the sights of it. And then there's this woman whom she describes really beautifully with the soft, curly, whiter than snow hair and the smile. And then we get not only a helpful civil servant, but we also get a story. And so did Sandy. When you walk into City Hall, you don't usually expect to hear an old Florida oral history like this.
The idea of a family reunion sounds so great. And the food that they have there, boy, I wish I had a family reunion.
Especially two dessert tables. I really liked that detail. And something else that she brought up that really sends us back in time, and that I know families used to do many moons ago, the idea of the tableau. She didn't call it that, but the idea of dressing up in the kind of pseudo-Grecian costumes and putting the leafy garland on your head and then posing was a thing that people did way back when. And it was, I don't know exactly what the impetus was for it. I guess it was artistic, and it was a way of creating theater without voice and without movement. They were creating a living picture.
And we'd have no end of the story if we didn't have those crowns made of poison ivy.
In fact, you know, one of the most difficult things to do for beginning storytellers is knowing when to end the story. And I love that she ended it with that line, "That was poison ivy." And then stop, right? We don't need to know about the itching and the rash and the everything else. All we needed to know is that was the punchline. That was the, oh my goodness, what happened the next morning kind of a line.
But Leslie would have known it was poison ivy because her hands would have been affected as well.
Who knows? Maybe somebody, they were girls, maybe somebody else put them on their heads. Maybe that person was wearing white gloves, depending on when this story happened. You never know. But the fact that she knows she didn't need to say anything more, that was the line. We all know what happened next.
Thanks for that story, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at F as in Frank, A-U.edu.
Or our website has contact information, as well as archive stories. WLRN.org, click radio and the public storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.